This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. We're back at Vision 2024. It's Carm Capriotto in the Napa Auto Care studio. Thank you so much to Napa Auto Care. If you're not a member of Napa Auto Care, darn it, why not? Get with it. Talk to your Napa salesman. I'm with Kim Auernheimer.
Hi, Carm.
It's been a while. How come you haven't been on my show in a while?
Been busy. Got shop number 2 and going and looking for shop 3 and 6 and 12. Who knows?
Pick a number.
Been busy, though.
Pick a number. Roll the dice. Well, great. Thanks for being here. You and my daughter, as the industry knows her as Tracy. Come on in the picture, Trace.
Hello, hello. She's no longer Carm's daughter.
There she is. Tracy Capriotto. There she is. I know. And you guys were at the Women in Auto Care Conference. Ladies, how was it?
Amazing. It always is. And we got a lot of chance to hang out and talk and had a great time.
I had a blast. I cannot believe that was my 3rd Women in Auto Care.
Wow.
So it's been going by in a flash. And for me, when I go to conferences, I'm with Carm. I have the studio. We have a schedule. But when I get to go to Women in Auto Care, I can actually take time to work on myself. We always say we're going to work on ourselves. You have to. But when do you actually carve that time out? For me, it's the annual Women in Auto Care Conference.
And the speakers and the programs that they have are bar none, just absolutely amazing and all looking for self-growth. And it is a time. I love it how you said that. It's a time to focus on me.
Right.
And how I fit in this industry and the camaraderie of the other women. And we get to have dinner together. There's a picture on social media of us together at dinner.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napa Trax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napa Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com.
Co-owner of CS Automotive, Brentwood and Monteagle. Monteagle.
Uh-huh. The Mount of the Eagle.
The Monteagle, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Couple locations. Toyota, Lexus specialists, at least in Brentwood, right?
In Brentwood, Monteagle is all makes, all models.
Wow. Interesting departure.
It is. It's a wild ride.
Did you buy someone out?
We did. It was a shop that was struggling. Owner was very, very sick, looking for his 4th kidney transplant, believe it or not. He had been trying to sell it for quite a while, and we just came in at the right time. It's a completely polar opposite shop than the Brentwood location. So it's really interesting to be on, because what is more of an affluent area, we're Toyota Lexus specialist or Asian import specialist. Here we are, very rural, top of the mountain as you crest between Chattanooga and Nashville. Very rural, lots of breakdown, lots of college students, because there's a small private university real close. So just completely polar opposite. So it's really fun to be able to work two different aspects of the realm of shop ownership and who your demographics are and such. So I'm not teaching here, but I have a branding class that I have to go back and rewrite.
A branding class?
I do, yeah.
CS is a beautiful, beautiful place.
We are very proud of it.
Yeah, is the new one like that?
Actually, it is. I'm really proud of it. I still have a little bit of my zhuzhing.
Wait a minute.
Zhuzhing.
Ladies, help me understand the zhuzhing. What's that mean?
Zhuzhing.
Fluffing up.
Making pretty. Zhuzhing.
Well, excuse me. I have to go zhuzhing. I'll be right back.
But I still, we still have our granite countertops coming in. We're doing our fireplace because that's one thing that we, in CS Automotive, we have a fireplace.
Yeah.
And we're building one up in there. So there's a little bit of zhuzhing that we need to do. And it's a beautiful shop. It's just wild ride. They're so different. All the way from the clientele to the employees. It's wonderful. It's a lot of fun.
It's a departure than what you've been used to.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been fun or challenging?
Oh, it's been very fun. Very fun. We were able to get in at a very good price. I'll just put it that way. So our overhead's low. We really had an opportunity to come in and bless these employees because most of our employees, except for one that came with the business, we only had one that came with the business. They all were driving like an hour and 15 minutes one way to work. And here they had an opportunity to work in a shop with proven, known, successful shop owners coming in with full benefits, great pay, great environment, all the equipment that they need. And it's 10 minutes from their house. And we talk about this shortage of technicians and such. And Brentwood is harder for us to get techs in that area because it's right in Nashville. They have a lot of competition. Somewhere like Monteagle, we had no problem hiring. Like I said, polar opposite. It was so bizarre. But it's a blessing. And they're amazing, amazing, good-hearted, down-home people there. And I love the clientele that lives there. It's just absolutely fantastic. I love it.
I love Nashville. Don't ask me why.
Love Nashville.
It's such a cool damn city to go to, no matter what your music preferences, because you can get it all there. So in the Brentwood location, how many of your people are in bands?
Oh, none.
Oh, no.
No, you should hear them try to sing out in the shop. Oh. It's bad. Okay. It's bad. Oh, you know, I say that. I am mistaken. Our service advisor is a member of his church, a band at church, okay, like the praise and worship band. And I hear that he's a phenomenal drummer. But his wife, man, she's got a voice. And we do get to listen to her.
Nice.
He'll play her up and she's got a new outfit. But besides that, nobody should be singing.
Back in 2020, that was an interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
That was the COVID year. Yeah. You were awarded the Shop Owner of the Year from Women in Auto Care.
I was, indeed. And I was there
no conference to go to get it.
Nope, there wasn't. So actually, I was thinking I was on a vacation, but I was actually training at another event. And so I was not able to go the next year. So I submitted my presentation, my thank you, via
a video.
Nice. And I just came across it the other day. And you know how it's funny, when, as you probably know, when you're looking at a video and you save it, it's always the most awkward pause, that intro when you're looking at your gallery or whatever. Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Very honored. Women in Auto Care is a spectacular group of women and men. By the way, there are men.
How come I don't get invited?
Because that's Tracy's time to work on herself.
Correct.
Oh.
Uh-huh. If you come, you're going to want a studio set up and podcast recordings. And I just want to sit down on presentations and work on myself.
She wants to learn her dyslexia. And I'm going to say you're probably an I, right? ID?
I am SI.
Oh, SI.
I am SI.
Low D, SI.
Yes.
Where's the C?
C is right near the line.
Near the line.
Okay.
And my natural and adaptive are identical.
It's interesting because I used to be a very high I with a very high D. And with some life changing things that is happening, I became an S. And at first I was really like, oh, I don't like this. And then I realized this is actually a great thing that we can flex and all that. See, we learned about things about ourselves at Women in Auto Care.
I love it. And can I tell the backstory, Tracy, about the disc test?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Right, here we go. I got to tell her.
Here's the gossip.
So she knows we've talked about on this podcast a long time and all the
perceived disc profiles of our customers.
Yes.
That was a fun,
Fun
one.
Loved it. We should redo another one like that.
That was good.
Or maybe I should re-release that one. So way back, I learned disc because it was part of the requirements of the company that I sold my business to. That's, we were going to use these profiles to help fill the right position. And I've talked to Tracy about it, and I've done Briggs, I've done Strength Finders and all these great things. And so Tracy calls me up a few days before Women in Auto Care. She goes, Dad, you got to hear Tracy when she's frustrated. Dad.
Am I really supportive?
No. When we're on the podcast or we're out in the field, she calls me Carm.
Oh, right. Okay. That's funny. That's Carm. True.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Carm's here. It's funny to hear that from her, but Dad, here's my first question. I have to share my screen. And so we're on a video call. And she goes, look at this question, Dad. I can't handle answering questions like this.
I've never taken a disc test. He has been on me for about a decade. And I keep saying, I can't take those tests because when they ask, what are your preferences, like least like, most like, well, what situation am I in? Am I at work? Am I at home? Mm-hmm. Who am I with? Am I on a project? Is this by myself? I can't answer it. So I have put my arms up and I have said, I can't do them.
Right.
I can't. But Women in Auto Care.
Forced us.
So I
but
said.
But you were there representing yourself, not Carm. So therefore, you were truer to yourself.
Ah.
I said, I don't care what you do to fox out this question. They're going to ask it in a different form later on.
Oh, it will.
They want to verify that your answers and the other questions weren't forced or phony, or you were just trying to speed through to get it done because somebody wants me to do this.
And, you know, the funny thing is you can actually break those tests, because when Rob took it the very first time and the second time, he had like 24% in one, 26 in another, 25 and 25. And I'm like, you're like a bullseye. And he goes, I'm broken. I'm absolutely broken. And the trick on those, a lot of those tests is don't answer it like you think you should.
Right.
You got to be true to yourself.
True
and
yourself.
That's where, and again, when I take it as a shop owner, CEO of a company, I tested completely different than when I was true to myself and who I was in this particular time and in my life. And it can change. You can become, I don't see you ever becoming a C probably, but I can see you becoming more of an I later on. It'll be interesting.
So she calls me up.
Oh, sorry. I totally interrupted.
She calls, this is great. Thank you so much for it. Because to our listener, we're talking about the DISC test, D-I-S-C. And oh, by the way, if you know what your traits are and you want to communicate better with someone that's not like you, the downloads page on my website, I have this really cool DISC chart. And if you're in sales, you got to get this DISC chart. In sales, you're a service advisor on our counters. Take the DISC test, learn what you are, and then learn how to communicate with someone not like you. So she calls me up and she says, Dad, I got my disc back. And she's telling me, I says, well, where above the line is this? And so we're going through this whole thing. And when she was all done, I told her, this is me. All right.
Yeah. You're a high I with D.
Yeah. And no C and no S.
No C and no S.
But what I learned, by the way, is that low SC is supposed to be I have more conformity than I show, a little higher degree of conformity. So I still don't like to do paperwork.
No one does. No, well, okay. I guess certain ones too.
So you learned a lot about you in the DISC test. And again, I think, Tracy, you said to me, now I know myself better because now I get what I do, why I do what I do.
Right.
Yeah.
And you get other people because now you know why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And Rob and I, through a different program, we had to do another personality test yesterday. And this one, I'm going to look a little bit more into it, but it actually, the question at the end was, what animal are you in your family zoo? And it talks about, it was the same kind of thing, but you have you're either a lion, an otter, a golden retriever, or a beaver. And those, you think about those particular animals and the characteristics that they display. And it was interesting because I would have thought that I was more of like an otter or a golden retriever. I was all lion. And just think about, you think of a lion, you think of power and aggressive and all that. So it was interesting. There's a lot of really great tests out there to figure yourself out so that you know how to understand other people. And it's phenomenal.
Let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
So just to give a really quick run through it, and I just want to help everyone understand why they need to.
We didn't even know we were going to be talking about DISC profiles, and you should see the paperwork coming out of his
file. He travels like that every day.
That's amazing. Mm.
D, dominant commander, director.
Mm-hmm.
I, influencer, expressor, socializer, extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
S, steady, reflector, pace, relator.
I had supporter in there, supportive.
Supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And C, compliance, achiever, conformity, thinker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So great, girls. Thank you for this.
Little rabbit trail there, but that was fun.
That, you know what? I have decided to do that here at Vision, that just about anything goes. And what I would like to talk about next, you guys might even know I want to talk about, is I saw a lot of great posts coming out. Mm-hmm. I saw your broken heel because you were dancing too much. I saw the dinners. You guys were out at dinner. And so is social media consuming us? Everyone?
Oh my gosh.
Too much.
Yeah, for sure.
How many hours a day can we get back on our lives if we just say, turn it off for a bit?
I don't know. Let's look at our screen timer thing. There's an app on our phones that says how much time we're spending on certain. If you open that and you look at it, I think people might be absolutely shocked.
Do you have an Apple?
No, I have an Android.
And I have that on my phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we should check that out later.
No, you shouldn't.
We'll post in the notes later.
No, I'm
show notes.
Social media to me is, I see the value in it in certain things, Kim. Mm-hmm. I really do. But some of it is mindless. And I'm not trying to be negative to all of my great friends that are social media mavens. But I don't know if it's generational or it's the fact that I really have a passion to do other things than that. And if I find myself over consuming in that because I want to follow through and I want to comment on a few things that I know are going on in people's world, I go back and saying, look at all the other things that I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I crazy to think like this?
No, it's not. It's interesting because you and I mean, and Tracy, we were just having a general conversation and you were sharing something you wrote from after the first 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And you shared, I think it was 8 or 10 things that you learned from the first 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And how many episodes are you now?
900 plus.
And you listed those 8 and I asked you, I said, so what's, and you said, none of these has changed. I don't remember exactly how
right.
you said.
Oh my God, you're right. 8 success strategies. I wrote this episode 100, right?
Right.
Can I read them to everybody?
Yeah, please. I'd love
to. And basically, they're not in any special order, but when I think back to all these great messages that I was receiving in these first 100 episodes, trying to help the industry focus on what I believe I was learning to be the right things so that people who were listening were concentrating on them. Here they are in no particular order. Customer service is it. Put your people first. Mm-hmm. Processes are ridiculously critical and win wars. Training is a sustainable competitive advantage. Culture rules. Have fun. Network to expand your knowledge and run toward technology.
Mm-hmm. And I think I asked you, I said, so what do you think has changed? Those were just as significant.
Yeah.
The first 100 episodes as they are the next 800.
And I think I told you it was social media.
Social media.
And Kim, you had said nothing has changed, but everything has changed.
Yeah, that's very true. Nothing has changed, but everything has changed. And I shared a personal story about someone that we just had this conversation with. And this person was struggling in just general wellness. And that phone, this is the biggest blocker of interpersonal communication and so much more. That phone in front of somebody's face, I'm going to try to do it with the camera. This right here is so divisive and so splitting of people. And I don't realize that people know how bad it is and how disruptive it is for people's relationships with others.
We are so conditioned now that good means likes, comments, mm-hmm. rah-rah stuff, and bad equals no one interacted with me online. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree. I think social media can be used to help businesses, to connect with people. I use social media to connect with friends that live all around the country. It's a way for us to stay in contact with each other, see what's going on. But when it goes to such a level of consuming, mm-hmm. mindless consuming, and what I'm seeing is so many influencers. I actually follow a page on Instagram that makes fun of influencers. It's called Influencers in the Wild. It's amazing. But these influencers are getting rewarded by millions and millions of followers and subscribers, but it's content that is not doing anything to your life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's that whole keeping up with the Joneses. Look what I'm doing. I'm going to quote Sarah Fraser. She told me this at Women Auto Care. For her goal this year is to consume less and to create more.
Mm, I love that. And if we just did that with everything in our life, and when you're consuming the social media, the stuff that's on social media, you're not giving way for other input, and I talk about relations. I talk about creativity. I think about all that. By looking at somebody else being creative in their own way, you're actually missing out on your opportunity. And
right.
It's not through social media. It's through interpersonal relations. And it's through the time. And I'm going to call them out because I'm a shop owner. You see a lot of some shop owners that are on social media or the first to like, and you're like, wow, their business must be doing absolutely freaking amazing because they have all this time in the world. I'm going to go follow them. And if that's the case, then fantastic. But if social media, looking for those hearts and likes and thumbs up, is that's what's driving you each day, then I think you really need to check yourself. And I will share, I checked myself. I don't say that half-heartedly. And I mean, I did before we got talking, I thought I should make sure I don't have a bunch of posts on my social media because I have a couple, but there's something that's important. My sweet, amazing husband brought me flowers for no reason. I'm going to give him a little pat on the back, attaboy, say thank you and show the world that my husband's the best. And we got 6 inches of snow. So it was like, felt like Buffalo. Felt like, that was a big thing. And to sit there and like have it all consuming is like so consuming.
And have it based on your happiness.
Yeah.
And no one liked my post. No one commented. I guess it sucked. And that's the kind of trap you get into mm-hmm. is, well, I have to post something so people like that. And it's that affirmation that people seek.
Yeah.
How many views? How many likes? And I think that's a really hard measure on how well you're doing in your own personal life. You posted that picture of you and Rob, not to, okay, am I confirming like everything's great? Like you know that in your heart and you're not posting that to gain more followers,
right.
To gain more likes.
Or to prove that my life is amazing.
Right.
To share my life is amazing, but not to prove it.
And you may have zero work-life balance.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's just it. Sometimes that work-life balance, that's kind of the phrase, like we're all looking for that work-life balance and maybe it's overused or whatever. But the biggest, in my opinion, this is, again, Disclaimer for remarkable results. These are our opinions only, not based on my opinion is social media, the phone, whatever it is the biggest deterrent, first thing that's going to cause that work-life balance to come off kilter. And because it's such a distraction to everyday life and everyday your family, your time. Let's just talk about the time it takes. You talked about that earlier. So much time.
Keep up with the Joneses, fear of missing out. That's what I see when I see people, could I have lived and survived without knowing that the family just did this, that they just did this? Probably. Mm-hmm. And what I want to know is the people that are consuming that content. Mm-hmm. What does it do? I mean, are there junkies out there maybe?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there are. I want to say this morning I did get up. I was drinking a cup of coffee and I did flip through and I thought, oh, it's my great niece's 6-month birthday. I'm going to send her a little.
6-month birthday?
Yeah, they do the pictures with them on the blanket and all that, you know? And I'm like, oh, and that little girl has a special place in my heart. She's my great niece. I don't have grandchildren yet, but that's hopefully around the corner.
Well, I could see 6 months.
But 6 months with a little blanket, with a little circle or heart around the number 6, you know, that type of thing. But it was like, I love that because that's my family. There's just, I don't know.
What about my 50th and a half birthday?
Now you're 50th, maybe, but okay. 50 and a half.
I'm just checking.
Okay, Carm's being cynical about the whole 6 month thing. Now, if we're doing like 2 years and 6 months, we have an issue.
And I'm guilty of this as anyone. I have people on Instagram or Facebook that I follow. I have never met them. I will never meet them. But I've been on this 6-year path of following them. And sometimes I look at these profiles. I'm like, why am I doing this? I will never have a connection with them. I'll never talk to them on the phone. They'll never know what's going on with my life. But I continue to follow them and look at their posts.
Or worse yet, they used AI to do a headshot and you're not going to recognize them when you freaking see them. It's not really what they look like. And I will say my profile picture is a true picture. It was not AI. Yes. I know I don't look like that, but it was the best picture I've ever taken. So it became my profile.
The AI picture thing. I mean, that has been a whole thing where I've been really trying to kind of dissect that. It's the new craze. Mm-hmm. Guess what AI can do? It can have you in all these different outfits and your hair's done. You have perfect skin, perfect eyes, perfect body. And everyone is posting that as like a badge of honor of like, oh my gosh, I got these pictures. Which one should I use? And for me, it's so inauthentic that it's a computer generating what they are programmed to deem as the perfect woman, the perfect man.
Yeah. And you may want to cut this out when you edit, but when you go from a C to a double D, there's an issue. And and that's what's happening. They're changing.
Lips.
Yeah, they're changing not just the face, like all that, but now they've got
everything.
You know, these women have something they didn't have before.
Right.
And when I see them in real life and this AI that's on their social media or whatever, I'm like, that's not at all what I thought you'd look like because that's not what you look like. And so you know, it's trickery. And go, I know you were going to say something.
I was just going to say, I have not done it.
I haven't done mine either. I'm afraid.
Because, well, and this might seem shocking to people. I am a millennial, but I actually have a hard time going through my phone and finding selfies of just myself. And that's where you have to upload selfies with no people around it. And there's some parameters with that. I'm like, well, I don't really have a lot.
I couldn't find mine either.
And
so I didn't do it.
Also, I felt like, you know what? I don't even want to see myself as AI because to me, I will say, well, that would be the perfect Tracy. That is filtered and that looks perfect.
She's already perfect enough.
And I don't even want to go there. I mentally do not want to go there.
Right. That goes on to what I was going to say before is when people are posting on social media and they're posting these, you're like, oh my gosh, that trip to Italy looked absolutely amazing. Little did they know that the real story is they missed their flight. Their VRBO or whatever was locked out. And
they got food poisoning.
They got food poisoning. They got so drunk on the Italian wine one night that they got sick. They don't share that on social media. All you think of is Italy is the most romantic place I've ever been to. They had a wonderful time and not knowing that they had a trip from hell. Now, our trips to Italy have been absolutely amazing.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
But I shared a little bit ago, we just went to Disney World and my kids, I don't know that we posted anything, but if we would have, it would have looked fantastic. We had a day that was miserable. Just truth be told, life's not perfect. So and social media makes it look perfect.
Yeah,
right.
Life is perfect on social media.
Yes. Well, bad.
And it's almost, did you see the keynote this morning?
I did not. I got in at 2:00 this morning.
You slept in.
I didn't sleep in. I just had to get myself together. I do want to get a recording of that, Sherry.
It was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of discussion about pain points and how critical they are in your life, the ability to deal with them, overcome them, and accept another batch and keep moving on. And sometimes you don't create your own pain points, find you, and you have to figure out how to get up and over them. And I found it fascinating. And to me, it was an incredible discussion about how to deal with challenges in your life.
Sounds like I needed to hear it.
It was amazing.
Ed Milet.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Ed Milet, he was really good. Talked to a lot of people about that. So here's my little white paper that I wrote at episode 100, 8 success strategies. In fact, Tracy, I think I'm going to just update some of the stuff that's on here and put it on a downloads page. And so at the end, it was in the page 6, because I explained, I actually take every one of those points and I talk about what I've learned about it, like culture rules. Culture is something you can't touch, yet a very powerful force in every company, blah, blah, blah. And so at the end, I said, so what now? Here's a few bonus thoughts. Catch this. You also need to consider embracing millennials, not only into your workforce, but also as customers.
I love you, Tracy.
What about specialization?
Oh, yeah.
What about mobile diagnostics? Mm-hmm. What about succession planning, customer retention, new equipment, upgraded facility, new locations, hybrids, EVs? We were all talking about that 800 episodes ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, to the point, nothing's changed, but everything has.
Yeah.
And it's how we deal with the change. It's the forces of nature almost. It's our ability and willingness to get up and get out of the way or embrace and learn and become a perpetual student and not fly backwards, but take that one step back, but three forward and then two up and one back and keep moving. That's what you've done.
Ride that roller coaster with your hands up in the air.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's,
you know. That's a perfect analogy.
But yet holding on tight, same time. So yeah, it's a wild ride. And I love all of those. Everything you said, I'm like, ooh, chick, ooh, chick, ooh, chick. Those are good. I'm doing that. I probably need to look at that one again. So it is exciting. And 900 plus episodes.
Yeah.
The amount of knowledge, and besides not me, the 894 other speakers. I mean, the amount of knowledge is that this industry has offered and shared within the industry is phenomenal.
I'm so grateful to everyone who's come on, and we sit down with them and say, hey, let's do an episode, but let's do something completely different, and let's do something edgy. That's where I think people end up getting their best internal motivation by saying, wow, I've thought of that before. Thanks for bringing it up. I wonder if I can do it. I'm listening to someone who has. Am I motivated enough? What do I need to get to that level? And when you stop thinking like that and you have an attitude and your ego gets in the way, then you just might as well close, sell, get out.
Well, and we talked about like, ooh, is this kind of a social media? Because it just happened. I love how the conversation organically just became, let's talk about social media. And I think you asked Tracy, do you think, is this, I don't know if you used the word polarizing or something, you know, do you think people would accept this? And I shared with this person that I talked about, they weren't ready to accept it because they were in the midst of being addicted to this 3.5 inches by 6 block. But hopefully, if this gives you some conviction that social media is not your means to your self-value and to who you are as a person, if you have any check in that, then this was not planned. This was just something that happened. If this is for you, then take it and maybe look inward on it. And said, the reason I'm passionate about it is because I've seen it hurt somebody else. And I had to do a check myself and know that that takes so much time and energy. It can be, I'm not saying it is, it can be soul sucking. It can just suck the soul out of you, the life out of you. And like Tracy said, the likes.
Right.
So I guess this might be a little edgy because it's getting a little deeper than just like, oh my God, how'd you open your second shop? How was that?
Yeah, I forgot to ask you that.
Yeah.
I was going to add in that I'm pretty confident when I say I don't think the world would be the same if everyone lived in isolation. People need people. They need connection. And the best stories, the best times we feel connected with people is when we share really vulnerable things and then we don't feel alone. Oh my gosh, someone else is going through that same challenge. I thought I was the only one on my island that was suffering because it's me, I'm the problem. But when you connect with other people and you realize there are similar struggles, how they have faced them, how they have overcome them, then that lights that fire. And with social media and just having words on a screen, that is not connecting. People think that's, I'm connecting, I'm liking, we're friends, but it's not actual human connection. I think that's what has separated so much of society with social media is we've lost that connection, but we think we have abundance because, well, I can talk to this person over here and there, and I have all these apps, but it's not real connection.
I mean, I had many, many great memories Women in Auto Care. But the moment that stuck out to me the most that I will cherish was dinner with you. You were on my left side. Jill Trotta was on my right. And I shared something intimate with both of you, something personal that was going on with both, and amount of just like insight and unity that Jill shared with me of going through something very similar. And you shared something very private as well. And it was just one of those like, this is the touch that we need, not what people are doing. And
to your point, you said it's not a means to your self-value. And if I posted something on Facebook, something to your point, Tracy, being vulnerable, but you were in a room together, side by side, sharing, to me, there is the face the body gestures, the sincerity, the twinkle in the eye, the handshake, all of that is the genuinity of connection in my mind. And even though social media says we're all about connecting, it's the superficial part. Again, disclaimer, we're not down on this stuff, but we're having an open discussion of how this could be a nightmare in hell for some people.
Absolutely.
And to your point, I had no idea to even think that it could be an addiction for people. I had no clue.
Yeah, it can.
Wow.
Yeah. And it may not be an addiction, but it is a symptom of other issues where people are trying to just check out, zone out, isolate, et cetera. And it may not even be them posting. It may be just living, trying to live vicariously through everybody else's life, but not their own.
So how is that new shop?
Oh gosh, we got deep. I need a drink.
Listen,
of water, that is.
Listen, do me a favor. You got to come back and tell me about, were you ready for shop two? Did you have everything prepared? What did you stumble on? What
do
could you have
ever
done
have
better?
Anything prepared?
No, I just love to know because I think there's a lot of people out there that want shop two. You've done it. We'd love to hear your story, but come back, will you please?
I would love to.
Kim Auerenheimer, co-owner of CS Automotive, Brentwood and Mount Eagle, Tennessee. Thank you for everything.
Thanks
love
for
you.
Coming on, Tracy.
Yeah,
thank you,
Tracy.
Thank you.
Love
I
it.
Said no, and they said yes, and here I am.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.